Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I went out today to have lunch from here from Prayer Mountain. We have our favorite little place to go. And to go to it, you got to drive through these Ozarks. And I saw the red buds and I saw the plums. And I don't think it's quite time yet for the dogwoods. But we saw the yellow bushes, the pink, the white, and I thought of the wonderful time of spring when the Lord shows us resurrection and new life. And I then thought, too, about something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I've been wanting to go with you in detail over the God calendar that's in the Bible. And in Leviticus chapter 23 in the Old Testament, we are told it, and it is really the sacred calendar of the history of redemption. Now, today I might not get to start this book, but I'm going to be using a book that we have even and sell, Type Psalms and Prophecies by David Baron. David Baron, of course, was born in Russia, 1855, trained in the best rabbinical schools, knows Hebrew, knows everything about being raised up with that Bible and all those wonderful Hebrew words. And then later on in his life, he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I enjoy so much his teachings. We offer his book on Zechariah, which is like a commentary on today's news. But I want to look at that calendar, and especially it's a good time to start it right now because we're starting when it starts. If you will turn with me today, if you have your Bible, and you'll turn to Exodus chapter 12, and this Jewish calendar, the sacred calendar, we call it the Jewish calendar. It's not the Jewish calendar. It's the God calendar. But the God calendar begins at a certain place. Now, there is a civil year in Israel, and the civil year begins over in the autumn, but The sacred calendar of redemption begins with an event. It begins with the first Passover, and it begins in the spring of the year. So we're reading from Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. From this time the Jewish people have been keeping track of time. Since God spoke this to Moses, they have the responsibility of keeping track of years and track of time. And they are very good at it, just like God entrusted them with the word. He entrusted them with the keeping of times. Now, the keeping of times back in the olden days was not a science. In those days, they would keep it like in the year of the king, in the year of King so-and-so. In the second year of King so-and-so, third year of King so-and-so. Well, kings die, a new king comes, and all throughout the world, there's all kinds of records of tracking time. But when God gave to the Hebrews and his people he said, these sun, these moon, these stars, they're for time, they're for keeping time and years. So they really began a very excellent record of time in Exodus 12 when they came out of slavery in Egypt. You know the story without our going into it. But they had been slaves there. They had gone in with Joseph and Jacob, and they had been treated well for a while. But then there arose a Pharaoh, the Bible says, that knew not Joseph. So they began to be treated very badly and treated as slaves. They cried out to God, and God sent them Moses, the deliverer, to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land. Now, of course, you know the story. That Pharaoh would not obey. He would not obey. Moses said, "Let my people go." God said, "Let my people go. Let them meet me on the mountain, 3 days' journey." No, 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 no. And then came all those plagues, terrible plagues. River turned to blood. The Nile River that they worshiped turned to blood. Lice, all horrible plagues. And they'd say, "Well, we let them go," but then they didn't let them go until the time of the 10th plague and the very worst one, which was death of the firstborn. Now, Pharaoh had really judged himself out of his own mouth when he had had all the children of Israel kill their newborn baby boys. But you remember how that Moses was saved by his mother, Jochebed, her faith in God. And then he was raised up even in Pharaoh's household and came to be their deliverer. Now, it's time to deliver them, and a judgment is going to come. And folks, we live in a time of judgment. The future is as bright as God can make it. But until that time, there are certain judgments that are going to be come forth. And here, it was a night of judgment. And so we're going to read it right straight from the Bible in the 12th chapter of Exodus. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, he's going to institute the first Passover. We're coming up on that time. This year, Passover will be April 15. It will begin April 15. It will go for 1 week. So, April, the time of new life, new beginnings. And it was a new beginning for them. So it comes the night for the judgment when they're going to leave. And you know that the firstborn in every household is going to die, the Egyptian households. Chapter 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt and said, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." See, they're going to keep months, they're going to keep a year, years. "Speak you unto all the children of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Verse 6, "You shall keep it up until the 14th day." They're going to keep it for 4 days. "Of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." There's really something quite significant about those 4 days, but I don't have time to go into it right here. "And they shall," verse 7, "take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it." And so they were to keep the Passover that night, eat it. And then, verse 11, the end of the verse. "It is Jehovah's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. I," the end of verse 12 says, "will execute judgment. I am Jehovah." Judgment is coming. "And the blood," verse 13, "shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." In other words, judgment is going to come to the land of Egypt. But I'm going to give you a token. A token is a sign. It is something you can see. They were to put this blood with hyssop on the doorpost and on the lintel, and when that blood stands between them and judgment. Now we go down to verse 21. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop," that's just a little, you know, like a little branch with leaves, "and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." Verse 23, "And Jehovah will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." Well, what is this? We hear that it's Jehovah, and then we hear that it's the destroyer. Who destroys? Satan. The Bible says in John chapter 10, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so here we see that God calls himself, he's the judge, but it also mentions the destroyer. What is going on here? Since Adam, since man fell, the Bible says that God crowned man with his glory, Psalm 8. Romans 3:23 tells us that man fell from that glory, separated from God. The saddest verse in the Bible, I believe, is when Adam and his wife hid themselves from the voice of the Lord because they were afraid. He had not been afraid. He'd been crowned and clothed with the glory of God. He'd walked with God in the garden. But when sin came, he fell from the glory. Now, since that time, since Adam fell, mankind is due judgment. But God made a already he didn't have to do it then. He'd already done it. The Bible says there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when Adam and his wife were naked, lost and undone, God then changed. They hadn't been naked before. They had been clothed with the glory of God. But when they fell from the glory, they knew they were naked, and they sewed themselves fig leaves. But then God came, and he shed the first animal blood. He made the first sacrifice to stand for that blood of that animal stood for the blood of the Lamb of God. And so he made them that little covering. And then from then on, God, they couldn't stand God. They couldn't be around him. His glory would burn them up. But then when God enters back into the earth, you might say, in Exodus, and he appears to them on that mountain, and he gives them a great and very intricate system of sacrifices, korbans. So here, they haven't met the Lord yet when he's instituted this at the mountain. Exodus chapter 12, but he said, but they're going to be introduced here to the blood. He said, I'm going to put that blood. When you put the blood on the doorpost, everyone was due the judgment ever since Adam fell. The Jews were as due the judgment as the Egyptians were. They're all mankind. God's going to remove his protective hand. His protective hand has been over mankind. He's going to remove it, and he's going to allow the destroyer, just like in the future he will in the book of Revelation. He'll let the devil at the end of 1,000 years a little loose. He's going to let him here a little loose. But that devil cannot touch the marked ones. He cannot touch the ones who are behind the blood. What you had to do that night, if you were in Egypt and you were a Jew, you had to believe it. Not only believe it, you can't just believe in the blood. You have to apply the blood. They had to apply the blood to the doorpost, to the lintel, and then they had to stay behind that blood. And then when the destroying angel passed by, that blood, which was a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, stood between them and the power of the death angel. And folks, we still have the power of the blood. That little lamb, those little lambs that they killed, they didn't have any power in them. They stood for the blood of the lamb that was already offered before the foundation of the world. And you can do it, and I can do it. I don't have hyssop anymore, but I have my tongue. I have faith in my heart. And with faith in my heart and the hyssop of my tongue, I put the blood of Jesus over the lintels and over the doorposts of my life. And I draw bloodlines around which I do not allow the devil to come. Just call us if you'd like to have a copy of our book where I write a lot about these things. 1-800-972-3447. And then we've also got a wonderful tract we'd like to send you free. If you just want the tract free, call us or write us and we'll send you Honor the Blood. That's 1-800-972-3447. Billy Brim saying, Shalom until tomorrow.